He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. This is a tiny detail in our gospel for this Sunday that I think we could just easily breeze past, because a lot of other action happens in this gospel. Jesus appears on the water. The disciples think that they're seeing a ghost. Peter then walks on the water, has doubts, and begins to sink and calls on the Lord to help him. Jesus rebukes him for his lack of faith. And at the end, they recognize him as the Son of God. So with all that happening, the fact that Jesus went on the mountain by himself to pray could be easily glossed over. Now, what happens right before this might seem a little bit out of place to us, the fact that this is mentioned. Last week, we had the Feast of the Transfiguration. But if we didn't have that, we would have had the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. And so that occurs right before Jesus goes on the mountain to pray. He just finished this. Now, nevertheless, Jesus going off by himself to pray is significant. Because whenever Jesus goes and does something important or is about to do something important, he goes off to pray. So you might think about the calling of the 12, where it says that he prayed all night, or the agony in the garden just right before he enters his passion. We're not told here what Jesus says, but we know that he's going to seek the will of the Father. He's going to be with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And the fact that the Gospel of Matthew includes this shows that there is an importance to prayer, an importance that we should place in our lives on prayer as well. More importantly, it indicates a need for a certain kind of prayer, a silent time of prayer, alone with the Father, a time that we need to carve out for ourselves. And the question is, do we carve out that time? Now, prayer is a universal call that every Christian has. We don't get out of it. There might be times in our lives when we're called to different kinds of prayer. In fact, the Catechism of the Catholic Church lists different forms of prayer. There might be times when we're called to more vocal forms of prayer. But my encouragement this morning is that if we don't have it, we should really think about incorporating silent prayer into our lives. It's that time where we can go off alone and spend it with the Lord. Our first reading from the book of Kings points to this as well, the importance of it. Elijah is commanded by God to go in and make a shelter and to wait to hear from the Lord. And he's thinking that it's going to come in some dramatic fashion. He thinks it's going to come in the strong wind or the heavy rocks or the fire or the earthquake. But where he hears the Lord is in a tiny whisper. And it shows us that the Lord speaks in the most subtle of ways. And we need to make time to be able to listen to that, to listen to that tiny whisper. Now, if you've never really done this before, you need a place to start. You can start by finding that time and space. One recommendation is that you could take an adoration hour here at the cathedral in the Eucharistic Adoration Chapel that's just right behind me. And that carves out a specific hour of the week that is dedicated to prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, where you can really sit with Jesus in the most holy Eucharist, really present before you. In fact, I can't think of a better place to be able to offer that time of prayer than before the Blessed Sacrament, before our Lord. In your home, you can also find a quiet space without distraction or set up a space that you dedicate to prayer, or say, this is going to be the area where I pray. And then have that dedicated time of prayer that you can set aside for it. Mornings and evenings, I think, often work best for people. And I would say start small. Start maybe a few minutes, 5 minutes, or 3 minutes, or whatever it is, and just build up from there. Have a meditation book that you can use to be able to start with. If you're a parent and you have children at home, pick a time, maybe during the day when they're not around, before they get up in the morning, or when you drop them off at school or another activity, or when they go to bed. Just some time that you are alone with the Lord and to spend it with Him. And the point is that we have to be intentional about it. We have to actually carve out that time to be with the Lord and recognize its importance in our lives. Now, once you have that space and time, this is where the challenge often comes in for people. You go to your holy hour, you go to your dedicated space of prayer, you begin with the sign of the cross, usually. You might have some prayer intentions that are on your heart that you want to offer to the Lord, so you say those, then you read a meditation, or you say a rosary, or a Divine Mercy chaplet, or just some other recited prayers that you might know, and then after that, you're stuck. You're like, what do I do? How do I move on from this? Maybe you don't hear anything from the Lord. You might, if you're in a public place, you might get distracted by the other people that are around. You might start thinking about other things, your to-do list that day, or what you're going to have for lunch that day, or whatever it is. You can feel dry. And all kinds of thoughts, both good and bad, can enter into your head. And those thoughts can be a lot of different things. They can come from ourselves. They can come from the devil. It has to be kind of parsed out. But either way, you feel stuck. You don't feel like you're moving forward. It can be very easy to feel discouraged. So what do we do when we're stuck in this position? I used to have a priest in seminary. When he would give conferences on prayer, he used to say, you're not alone. It's all of us. Not alone. It's all of us. And what he means is that this is a universal human experience that everyone goes through. Everyone. Lay people, priests, sisters, great saints in the church. Everyone goes through this experience of feeling dry, feeling stuck, not really sure what to do. But this is where Peter's prayer becomes really important. When Peter is walking on the water and he starts to sink, he says, Lord, save me. And Jesus reaches out immediately to save him. So our first response then should be, when this happens, when we feel stuck, when we feel discouraged, is to call out to the Lord. Call out to the Lord. And one of the reasons for this is because it acknowledges that prayer is not a work that I do. It's not just some mental exercise. It's not something that I conjure up. But prayer is a grace from the Lord. And any grace has to be received. It's a gift that is freely given by the Lord. You can't will it. You can't force it. It has to be received. So ask for the Lord's help in this situation when you feel stuck. Now, if it persists, don't worry. It may not go away right away. That's okay. That happens. That's also very normal. But when we sit in that dryness, when we sit in these difficulties, the Lord often permits it. Now, he doesn't cause it. That would be a different thing. But he allows us to experience it, so that way we can be purified. We can recognize that prayer is a grace that comes from him, that's not coming from ourselves, but has to be received by him. It's what Jesus says to Peter about his lack of faith. Now, Peter had faith, obviously. We see that throughout the Gospels. But at that moment, he has a lack of trust. He's not relying on the Lord. And so he begins to sink. And that's what happens with us. We're not relying on the Lord like we should. Or the Lord wants us to trust him more. He wants us to grow in that. It's a little like if you work out, you might feel a little sore when you do that. Or you might have to push it a little bit. But you know that it's going to make you stronger. It's the same thing in prayer. When you face these difficulties, that actually makes you stronger. Even if you don't see it. You may not see the fruit of it right away, but the Lord is working. He is purifying you when this happens. Finally, one other thought about prayer, and to go back to Jesus praying on the mountain by himself, we sometimes think that prayer is about saying as much as possible. Jesus says not to babble like the pagans, but often we can do that in our prayer. But the goal of prayer is really leading us to contemplate the Lord, to contemplate his love for us. That's what contemplation is. It's about sitting in the love of the Lord. And in our collect for today, the prayer that the priest prays on behalf of the people at the beginning of Mass, we ask for this: Almighty and ever-living God, whom taught by the Holy Spirit, we dare to call our Father, bring, we pray, to perfection in our hearts the spirit of adoption as your sons and daughters, that we may merit to enter into the inheritance you promise. We recognize here that God is our Father. Later on in the Mass, we'll say the Our Father and actually call God our Father, just like he is Jesus' Father. We're all adopted sons and daughters of God. And our goal is to see God for all eternity. And so we need to ask for this grace on a regular basis, first of all. If you've never done it, I encourage you to try it. But what will happen in our prayer when we experience it is that there might be a calm and a peace that comes about. Just sitting with the Lord, nothing really happening, nothing distracting, nothing discouraging, but just sitting with the Lord. It's a little like having that, imagine a calm lake or something like that. There's a calmness there that we can sit with, just sitting with God. It's not going to come in a grand emotional experience, but coming in that calm and peace. And so my encouragement is just to sit with that. It's a beautiful thing when that happens, when we receive that grace from the Lord. Again, we don't make it. It's not something that we can force or will. It has to be a gift that is freely received by us to know that we're loved. To know that we're loved. I think a lot of times with contemplation, we think, oh, that's something Teresa Avila does, or John of the Cross, or some other mystic saint does, but it's not for me. But just sitting in that love of the Lord, it's something we're all called to, and the Lord can give us if we ask for it. And it might feel a little uncomfortable if we've never had it happen before, to sit in God's love. But the more we receive and sit in that grace, just like Jesus sits in the Father's love, then we can be more predisposed to be able to do the will of the Lord in our lives. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Let's find our mountain and pray to the Lord.